Hello, and welcome to this episode of Just the Dis. My name is Brian Sauer. This is my podcast about Blu-rays. This episode, I have kind of a special thematic going here. I have in my hand a book. It is called Teen Movie Hell, A Crucible of Coming-of-Age Comedies from Animal House to Zapped. And this was written by one Mr. Mike McPadden, who also wrote a cool book called Heavy Metal Movies, which I definitely recommend. I think both of them are on the same publisher, Bazillion Points Publishing. But anyway, this is a really neat new book that just came out, and it's, as it says, it's all about sex comedies or teen comedies from all periods. But it's not just Mike doing the reviews and everything. That's not all that's in this book. I mean, he does, you know, the reviews, but there's also a bunch of essays included, which is really cool, from a lot of Just the Dis commentator Blu-ray people, basically people that you've heard me talk about on the show before, people like Kat Ellinger, Sam Deegan, Kayla Janice, Heather Drain. I think I've talked about them on the show, and there's several more, but I just thought it was neat that those folks who I've talked about on the show actually show up in this book and have some cool essays that they contributed. So it's not just a review book. There are, like, you know, some think pieces and fun stuff happening besides the reviews. But there's a lot of cool stuff in here. And I thought what I would do is go through a stack of Blu-rays that I made based on stuff that's in this book. You know, stuff that's available on Blu-ray but is in the book. And so I'm going to go through this pile I made here. And this is by no means everything. There's tons of movies in this book. Tons that you know, and I venture to say a bunch that you don't know. Definitely some stuff in here I wasn't aware of and am curious about now. All right, so let me start with my pile here. I have Where the Boys Are from 1960.
Where are you going?
Where the boys are!
I'm going to go right with me.
The screen jumps for joy with Glendon Swarthout's inside story of those uproarious Easter vacations.
Gentlemen, the city of Fort Lauderdale is once again under fire from the north. Now, Fort Lauderdale is not the only community to be invaded at this time. In Palm Springs and in Newport, on the beaches of the Mid-Atlantic, the students of America are gathering to celebrate the rites of spring.
Where's the beach?
According to this, it's across the street.
Join the fun as the gang tears loose where the boys are. There's plenty of room, all the comforts of home.
Anybody here from Princeton?
Come on, live it up with their laugh sessions, their romantic sessions, and those way-out jam sessions.
You gotta turn on the sunshine, you're gonna push the blues away.
It's the singing sensation of the nation, Connie Francis, who falls for a nearsighted purveyor of something called dialectic jazz.
You may rub rosin on my bow.
They come from everywhere, with every kind of an approach.
You just saved the life of T.V. Thompson, junior class, Michigan State.
This guy believes in the direct approach.
Now take sex.
Wow.
Even the Ivy Leaguers get into the act, with a big yacht, no less.
Would you like to stay aboard tonight?
That's probably about the coolest approach I've ever had.
Each girl has her own approach to love.
That's my ambition, to be a walking, talking baby factory. Legal, of course, and with union labor.
And I thought what I would do, and I may not do this on every title, but I thought maybe I would look at what the book has to say about these movies. Like, for instance, Where the Boys Are, 1960. One thing he does in the book that I like is he has these little video cassettes, like, and each one has like a keyword next to it under each title. So like for Where the Boys Are, it says keywords are spring break, virgins, and rock band, for whatever that means. And briefly it says the very first teen sex comedy as we came to know teen sex comedies, debuting huge in 1960, establishing at least 20 archetypal plot components for all teen sex comedies to follow. Let us count the active ingredients. I won't usually read as much of these as this, but this is kind of interesting. This MGM mega hit starts when four decidedly different college co-eds, one, flee their frozen campus, two, for the swinging shenanigans, 3 of spring break, 4 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. 5, once there, the gung-ho party girl, 6, the sheltered neurotic, 7, the clumsy darling, 8, and the sassy brassy songbird, 9, who's played by an actual pop star, 10, meet up with a handsome rich guy, 11, a slightly bumbling romantic, 12, a zany joker, 13, who's also a musician, 14, romance blooms, 15, jokes get pulled, 16, heartbreak happens, 17, and everyone involved learns something, 18, including, for a select few, what actual intercourse feels like, 19, the song becoming a mammoth worldwide hit, 20. So that it says that elemental 20-point formula, widely and deeply imitated ever since, was laid out by Where the Boys Are. A solid quarter century and a million years culturally before the likes of Spring Break, 1983, which will come up, Fraternity Vacation, 1985, and Lauderdale, 1989. I don't know Lauderdale. So this Blu-ray is from Warner Archive. It looks great. You know, it's a very bright, colorful beach movie, so it's a lot of fun. It does go, as the review kind of hints at, it goes to some darker places in the end, which I always kind of forget. I always think it's going to be beach blanket bingo, and then it's a little bit more intense in the back end. So that's interesting. This disc features commentary by Paul Apprentice, Connie Francis and Paul Apprentice in Where the Boys Are, Where the Boys Were, a retrospective, and then a Fort Lauderdale premiere newsreel. But anyway, that's a great disc from Warner Archive. Next up, on my pile, I have one from Kino Lorber, and that would be a movie called Losing It, from 1983.
Dave's been itching for it. Woody can't stand it.
If I can wait, why can't you wait?
And Spider will do anything for it.
Spider! Stop him!
There comes a time when nothing seems more important than losing it.
We're gonna be as crude as we want, as filthy as we want, and as gross as we want.
You think I love you? Come on up.
You don't go with the first one you see. You
yes,
wait.
Yes, I do. I'm not like ordinary guys. I got more of them hormones or something.
Hello.
How was I supposed to know that she was your sister?
Will you settle down?
I'll be right back.
I can hardly wait.
Some of them beauties you've been hiding from Big Dave.
Get those maniacs!
It's the last word about the first time losing it.
So let's see. Keywords are road trip, Tijuana, virgins, hookers, Spanish fly, and drunken sailors. Losing it, confusing it, cruising it, having the time of our lives, losing it, using it, abusing it, down at the borderline. That's a terrible rendition of a very catchy theme song to this movie. It says the chorus to the nitrous oxide blast of Losing It by the Jeff Allen Band certainly calls it like the movie shows it. Nice work. And then it says, in the same 1950s, early 60s, either occupied by many other R-rated youth comedies, SoCal High School, Hellraiser, Big Dave, Jackie Earl Haley, Raleigh's Good Time Jock Spider, John Stockwell, and Properly Polite Woody, Tom Cruise, for a Tijuana getaway in his red 1957 Chevy Bel Air convertible. The rub is that they have to cart along Big Dave's little brother, Wendell, a.k.a. Wimp, John P. Navin Jr. Nonetheless, Big Dave smiles wide as he promises, we're going into the mouth of hell. So, I hadn't seen this one in a while. And it also stars Miss Shelley Long, which is cool, as a woman that they run into at a convenience store when they're about to head down, and she's basically in the midst of a huge fight with her husband or her beau. I can't remember if they're married. And she hops in the car with them and comes down to Tijuana with them. So that's an odd twist. But interestingly, this is directed by Curtis Hanson. So an earlier effort from him. And it's not bad. You know, it opens with, I think, a card that says, a long time ago in a high school not too far away. So a little tongue-in-cheekness there I thought was cute. And it's really an American Graffiti type thing. You know, good period film with like a not quite wall-to-wall soundtrack, but it's definitely music heavy and it's fun. You know, I like the music that they chose. So that keeps everything moving. And the cast is great. Jackie O'Haley, John Stockwell, Tom Cruise. I mean, come on, you know, and Tom Cruise before Risky Business, I think. So he's definitely showing what he's going to do. And it's an interesting role for him. And I like that the movie has got a certain naivete to the characters. And that's something that'll come up in the next couple that I do as well. You know, I think the sex comedies, especially the sort of exploitative ones I like the most are the ones where the dudes involved are not like super jocks swinging dicks as much as they are thinking they're confident and then realize they really don't know what they're doing. And that's just more enjoyable for me. So anyway, this is a new one from Kino Lorber. Just came out recently. No extras, unfortunately, but it's nice to have it on Blue. That's losing it. So next up, I've got actually a 4-pack, and 3 of the movies are in the book. I'm not going to pick one, and that's Hard Bodies. I'm just not as big a fan of that one, although I'm due for a rewatch. So I didn't get a chance to rewatch it before this episode. I watched just the beginning of it, and it just wasn't vibing with me at that time. But in this set, this is a Mill Creek 4-movie collection. It's called Sun, Sand, and Sweat, and it includes Hard Bodies, the movie Perfect with Jamie Lee Curtis and John Travolta, which I love, but it's not really a teen sex comedy. It's more of an adult drama. Also, it's not in the right aspect ratio, so that always bums me out. But the two that I would like to include are Spring Break from 1983 also, and Private Resort from 1985. So let's see here. Spring Break.
Nelson, wherever you look, skin, skin, skin. Spring break in Fort Lauderdale. 250,000 kids here for the sole purpose of partying.
Nelson Daldi and Adam Stern are about to get the break of their lives. Spring break. For some, it's the start of a whole new education. For others, it's a more advanced course. You can learn a foreign language. Or expand your present one. You can learn martial arts. Home economics.
And guides for your protection.
Culinary arts. And all sorts of sports. There's something for those into the performing arts. And something for those into nature.
Okay. Oh, Nelson.
Columbia Pictures presents Spring Break. It's the reason kids go to college in the first place.
I still don't know where my underpants are.
Why, what happened to them?
I think they ate them.
Spring Break. In 1980s, director Sean S. Cunningham assembled the horror juggernaut Friday the 13th by placing select moments from the slasher movie Deluge following 1978's Halloween onto a basic template scripted by the relatively obscure 1971 Mario Bava shocker A Bay of Blood. In doing so, Cunningham built a perfect exploitation beast and struck the B-movie motherlode. Cunningham does the same thing with Spring Break, switching genres to fuse together mid-60s beach party flicks and post-Porky's raunch. Spring Break didn't make even a fraction of the impact of Friday the 13th, but the movie is a swell, if surprisingly mellow, stretch of sun, shore, and college students with a one-week license to impair their livers and unleash their libidos. Plus, the title track by Cheap Trick is absolutely killer. So, yeah, this one was more fun than I remembered, and again, that sort of, you know, dudes that don't really know what they're doing kind of thing. And it has almost nobody that I recognized except for one guy, and I couldn't tell you what. Well, Richard B. Schull is in the movie, and that's kind of funny. But basically it's like these two sets of college guys spending spring break together in Fort Lauderdale again, and it's like two dudes get a room in this really rundown Lauderdale hotel, and then they're double booked. And so the really inexperienced dudes are with these like slightly more player dudes, but none of them really know what they're doing, and they go out and try and meet some ladies, and it's fun. I enjoyed it, but in fact more than I remembered. But more so than that is Private Resort from 1985.
Ah, welcome to paradise. For the incurably romantic, there is Club Med. For the incredibly wild, there is the club that's mad. Private Resort, where two eager guys can resort to their most private fantasies.
I'm telling you, this is the place to be.
4 days made in heaven, and it's all theirs.
Oh, look at that.
Now they can worship the sun.
And we
rejuvenate their bodies.
I'm in love.
Meet stimulating people.
Yeah.
Be free with me, Ragalama.
And bare their souls.
You must lose your artificial layers.
You mean my clothes?
I beg your pardon?
Dance. Would you care to dance?
Of course.
Dance! The fraud's death.
It's the perfect escape, whether you're on the wrong side of the law.
Give me that knife.
Or on the flip side of reality.
Whoa, dude. Excellent cut. This place is insane.
He's got my diamond. Come on.
It's the great getaway.
It's gotta be your life.
For all kinds of action. Come join the feast. Go ahead. Just dive right in. You'll want to stay forever.
Is this place always this crowded?
Wait till we get to the sauna.
Private Resort, the third in the private school private lesson saga. Now you can get away with everything.
Wow, a mom and a dad. I'm home.
Well, I forgot to read the keywords on spring break, but Private Resort's keywords are virgin, aerobics, bumbling cop, bumbling crook, punks, and quaaludes. And it says here, plain and simple, Private Resort is a pile of hilarity. Johnny Depp as Jack and Rob Morrow as Ben are two dudes hanging around a splashy Miami hotel for a weekend, hoping to score some action. They came to the right place, they find plenty, and it's all plenty funny. This one I just really enjoy more than I feel like I should. It's totally goofball, like farcical, screwball sex comedy, mostly in a hotel. Not as much on the beach. There's a little bit of stuff on the beach, but it's mostly like them running around a hotel. And there's some fun running gags. There's some good physical comedy. There's a great bit where they have to move a woman that they've accidentally drugged. And I know that sounds creepy, and it is creepy, but they are trying to move her out of the room that they thought, like, she accidentally drank a drink that she wasn't, I don't remember, but they're trying to move her, and people keep coming into the room, and it's in this wacky hijinks. And I know it doesn't sound funny at all, but it actually is in the movie. And Johnny Depp and Rob Morrow are surprisingly good. There's also a great, like I said, running gag where Hector Elizondo plays, I can't remember if he's like a mucky muck at the hotel or if he's just a rich guy at the hotel, but he's got a wig and that comes into play, but he just keeps getting into these awkward situations that the guys kind of set up, you know, often accidentally. It also has Andrew Dice Clay and Leslie Easterbrook from the Police Academy movies or movie. I can't remember. And so that's good stuff. So that's Private Resort and Spring Break from the Sun, Sand, and Sweat collection from Mill Creek. Next up, I have one that is pretty nuts, and it's called They're Playing with Fire. That's from 1984.
Playboy sensation Sybil Danning and Eric Brown, the star of Private Lessons. Just when they thought they had it made, someone starts playing with their lives. Now, they're playing with fire. They're playing with fire.
So, keywords, bad teacher, yacht sex, dorm sex, fat guy, power ballad. What's funny about their playing with fire is that it's not even remotely a comedy. Ever savvy Roger Corman's New World Pictures sold the movie as a raucous return to form for Eric Brown, who starred in their 1981 Older Woman Meets Horny Virgin Money Machine Private Lessons. Their Playing with Fire's ads clearly implied it was yet another bad teacher farce, maybe even a kind of Private Lessons sequel. In the previous movie, Brown scored with international sex film siren Sylvia Crystal, Manuel, as his saucy French tutor. This time, his maiden escapade is with B-flick glamazon Sybil Danning, Chained Heat, Howling 2, as his cherry-popping college professor. Playing university freshman Jay Richard, Brown gets it on with Danning, who plays married Shakespeare scholar Diane Stevens. They do it on her yacht and in his dorm room. Then Diane cajoles the smitten idiot into executing a dastardly criminal plot that hinges on elder abuse. Very quickly, their Playing with Fire reveals itself to be a mean-spirited caper film. Mean-spirited. Yeah, I guess so. But it's just pretty bonkers to see this teacher go after this kid, especially because it's Sybil Danning, and his reactions are just a certain way, and things get kind of intense. Yeah, it's not really a comedy, ultimately, as he says there, but it's definitely enjoyable and off the wall and, you know, an entertaining evening for sure. This is a Blu-ray from Kino Lorber. It includes an interview with star Sybil Danning, which is always a hoot. She's never not entertaining, and she definitely is here. But anyway, this is the sort of lesser-known gem, if you will, or, you know, movie that's bonkers that you may want to dig up and watch to entertain yourself because it's a blast. So definitely check it out. They're Playing with Fire. Next up, we have another film from 1984, and that is Up the Creek.
Ready, set.
This is the story of America's greatest intercollegiate rafting race, featuring the nation's top teams, Washington Military Institute, the champions.
A commander couldn't ask for better soldiers.
The seasoned veterans of Ivy College.
This is going to be a piece of cake.
The heavily favored women's team from Vanity U.
Would you look at all that beefcake?
And Lepetamine University challenging for the first time. With their faithful companion, Chuck the Wonder Dog, Lepetamine competes against all odds.
He's trying to tell us something. Give us another clue, quick. Chuck, how many syllables?
Two syllables!
After a rigorous training program, the race is on.
Give me a hard left.
And before they reach the finish line, they'll be stoned.
Abandoned ship!
Bombed. And get really high.
This river will be ours!
Where's the river?
Get set to get wet. Up the Creek. Featuring the music of Cheap Trick, The Beach Boys, Heart, Shooting Star, and more.
So, keywords here. Big fat party animal, nerd, sorority, funny dog, and the big race. And it says, Up the Creek is a crassly calculated Frankenstein, a stitched-together 80s teen sex comedy that just barely floats. The movie stars Tim Matheson and Stephen First, Otter and Flounder from Animal House, along with Dan Monahan, Pee-wee from Porky's, as college fuck-ups at a school named after a legendary fart performer, Lepetamine University. John Hillerman Higgins from TV's Magnum PI, doing his own take on Animal House's Dean Wormer here, blackmails the trio into competing in a bikini-friendly whitewater rafting competition. The female lead is Jennifer Runyon, heartthrob Gwendolyn Pierce from Charles in Charge. Anyway, this is a Kino Blu-ray and comes with some interviews with Stephen First and Sandy Helberg and casting director Harriet Helberg and the Cheap Trick Up the Creek music video. This is another one with a killer Cheap Trick theme song. Definitely one that gets stuck in my head and I love it. I think I like this more than Mike does. I think this one is a lot of fun and it reminds me of Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown, which is something that's always been near and dear to me. So the river rafting angle is enough to make it special and interesting to me. So I'm definitely a fan. Again, this is worth getting, I think, if you're into this stuff. It's a little less talked about. And like I said, Kino Lorber Blu-ray, definitely worth a pickup. Next up we have, is this from 1984? Yes, it is. Making the Grade.
Okay, Palmer, rise and shine.
He's a millionaire. He's a playboy.
How about a brewski? Nice grab.
He's a fun-loving guy. He's Palmer Woodrow III.
Gosh! Darn it!
And he's going to lose his inheritance.
You will actually have to get a job.
Unless he graduates from Hoover Prep.
Hey, you know something? Nobody at that school knows what I look like. Pay some guy what, $500-$600 a month and a bonus to graduate?
Where do you propose to find the idiot to do this?
This is Eddie Keaton.
How are we doing?
Street Kid.
What do you say, Eddie?
Dropout.
Break his legs. And then get me some pizza, okay?
Jive walking. But if he can pass senior year as Palmer Woodrow, he'll be wealthy beyond his wildest dreams.
I'll cover your monthly expenses, and there's a $5,000 bonus once I get my diploma.
$5,000?
All right, $10,000, but that's it.
Making the Grade. The story of two guys who run a con on the snootiest prep school in America.
I've read about your father. He's some part of an industrial mystery man, isn't he?
Well, he used to me, sir.
But for Eddie Keaton, fitting in is not going to be easy.
Did you tie this thing? Wow! You did!
He's crazy.
AKA the last American preppy. Never heard that before. Keywords, preppies, boarding school, big fat party animal. And it says, the 1980s Prince and the Pauper redo, Making the Grade, almost makes the highest of grades and stands near the upperclassmen of the genre. I agree with that. Smartmouth, mansion-dwelling, rich kid, and seventh-year high school senior Palmer Woodrow, who's played by one Dana Olsen, who also wrote things like The Burbs. And damn it, I can't think of what else he's written, but he's written a couple other funny movies. Anyway, he plays Palmer Woodrow. Is told by his way uncool old money dad that graduation is now a must, or else Palmer will be disowned and ditched. Meanwhile, in broken bottles on cracked concrete, urban New Jersey, brainy but too dumb not to gamble, street dude Eddie Keaton, Judd Nelson, has landed in $3,700 worth of trouble with spine-snapping bookie Dice, palooka to perfection by Andrew Dice Clay, making his screen debut. So Dice Clay, before Private Resort, had this bookie role, and he's quite good. It says, our protagonists happen upon one another in the locker room of a country club where Palmer is running up his old man's bar tab and Eddie is running away from Dice's goons. Together, the quick friends concoct a scam good enough to be made into this exact movie. Since no one at Palmer's new school, Hoover Academy, really knows what he looks like, Palmer will pay Eddie $10,000 and a Porsche convertible to move on campus and attend classes in his place. That's the basic plot, but it's a lot of fun and, you know, a great, I can't remember if this came out before or after Breakfast Club, might be before. Either way, it's a good movie to watch if you like that sort of John Bender-y Judd Nelson. This is a slightly cooler, more ambitious version of that. And the movie also stars Jonna Lee, this gorgeous blonde actress that I've seen. Oh, shoot, she's in a few more movies that I really like her in, but this is the one where she's given sort of the biggest role, if you will. And I like her enough that I kind of wish she was in more movies. Oh, she's in The Midnight Hour. That's the one. But also The Quarterback Princess and Chained Heat. But she's really cute in this and very good. And yeah. Yeah, this is great. So this is an Olive Films Blu-ray, Making the Grade. Unfortunately, no extras, but I still recommend you get it. It's pretty great. Okay, next up I have one more Olive Films Blu-ray, and that is from 1985. It's a little movie called Secret Admirer.
If you can't put your feelings into words, put them in a letter.
Listen to this. I don't know how to tell you what I want to tell you.
I'll never find the nerve to give you this letter anyway, but I just love you more than words can say.
I'm in love.
I long to have your arms around me and feel your body against mine. Oh, radical.
But be careful where you put the letter.
Take your hands off my daughter, Fruit Lips.
Oh, it's the mailman.
My mother's in there crying. I hope you're happy.
What did she say?
I really like it.
Michael, she loved it, okay?
She looked great.
My son's in the next car.
He's with my daughter.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Do it right.
Oh, she loved it. Whoa.
Yeah, what about you?
Me? Oh, I have no standards. I mean, I'd even go out with you.
It wasn't good. It was great.
You and me, him and her, all together at the same house at the same time.
One more thing, little boy.
Oh, God.
You get her pregnant, I'll blow you.
No sacrifice. No reward.
Secret admirer.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Do it right.
XXX. OOO. XX. Think I'd write her another one?
This summer, learn how to do it right. See Secret Admirer.
Let's see here. Keywords: virgin, last day of school, topless backseat seduction, angry cop dad. These are funny. So it says here, on the last day of junior year of high school, a secret admirer slips a gushing love note into the locker of Michael, see Thomas Howell. Understandably, Michael hopes the mystery missive is the doing of radiantly blonde campus heartthrob Deborah Ann Fimple, Kelly Preston, who gets nude here, but not as nude as in the same year's Mischief. It says, our secretly admired protagonist presents the amorous epistle to nearly everyone he knows, his goofball buddies Casey Shamosko, J.J. Cohen, and the always welcome Courtney Gaines, his kid brother Corey Haim, who's funny, especially when dousing his Fruit Loops with Bosco, and Tony, Lori Loughlin, his best friend in the whole wide world, who just happens to be a mousy brunette, that this matter speaks volumes as to the main character's priorities. While Michael tries to unravel its author's identity, his note falls into the hands of his mother, Connie D. Wallace, who mistakes it as a come-on from Lou Fimple, Fred Ward, and then Lou is Deborah Ann's father, and he's a dirty, hairy-level angry cop. Connie is not upset while under this misimpression. Anyway, more parents get involved. I'm going off book now, but it just becomes this labyrinthine plot of misunderstandings and farce as more and more people read the note and assume it's from someone else for them, and they project onto it, and it becomes this whole thing. And, you know, but obviously we know kind of where this sort of thing is going to go, but I still think it's a lot of fun, and the cast is like an all-star thing, and you know, it's one of those movies that I feel like is slipped away a little bit, you know, much like Making the Grade, although I like Making the Grade more than I like Secret Admirer. But the cast is so strong that I have to say it's worth it for that. You know, there's just lots of goofy, you know, teen comedy stuff happening. Anyway, that's Secret Admirer. I got two more picks here. Let's see here. Next up, we have another Kino disc. This is Foxes from 1980.
Meet Jeannie, Annie, Madge, and Deirdre. Not exactly the girls next door.
Hey, anything you want, baby?
Not from you, slime.
They move to a beat all their own.
Watch them move, watch them shake it.
They're foxes.
They're looking good like foxes should.
They dare to do what others dream of.
Moving out, buying a place of our own. Oh, you know, it's not just for you. My mother would love it.
20th century foxes.
You look like kids, but you don't act like them. You're short 40-year-olds and you're tough ones.
Run too fast, fly too high. Run too fast.
You forget your mom. You know, when you go out in the world, it gets scary sometimes. Learn to laugh a little.
Oh, oh yeah, you can amaze if you ride when I heard him say.
I mean, you slept with guys.
Gonna stay with you tonight, Annie?
Better stick to the pill. Because you never know what you don't know, you know?
Teenage dopers. What a waste. Drunken narcotics. I don't like your friends, Jeannie.
Never like my friends.
I'm in love with you.
Do you really love me?
Let's go, that's Annie.
How is she?
She's loaded.
If you're gonna stay with me, you gotta go by the rules. And the rules are, we're gonna get through high school. We're gonna pay back, Jane. And I'm not coming back for you every time you blow it.
Jodie Foster, Scott Baio, Sally Kellerman, Randy Quaid. They dare to do what others dream of. They're foxes.
Keywords: sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Let's see. Looks like this review is actually written by Rachel McPadden, Mike's wife, and she says, Jeannie and Annie and Madge and Deirdre. Foxes fleshes out the girl stereotypes more than most movies of the time, including Little Darlings, and that's saying something. Jeannie, Jodie Foster, is the clever, smart-alecky, streetwise daughter of an absent British rock manager and aging blonde divorcee/UCLA undergrad, Sally Kellerman. Jeannie raises herself, for the most part, dodging mom's sleepover guests and me-generation existential freakouts. She longs for her own apartment, preferably with her three constant companions. She seems like she would never cry, yet she's always crying. And then she goes on to describe the other girls in the movie. Annie, played by Sherry Curry of The Runaways. Madge, Marilyn Kagan, and, oh yeah. Fox offers scarce info on Deirdre, Candace Stroh, but the stereotype is clear. She embraces spaghetti strap leotards, wedge heels, and cigarette holders, working over grocery bagging surfers with a little, whoops, I dropped my Tic Tacs or whatever. Yeah, no, that's funny. So yeah, she does a really nice job of actually running down all the different girls in the movie and kind of the stereotypes they're fleshing out or not. She says, Foxes is the Sex and the City prequel for a generation of women who each love their girl gang but always feel alone and still live for a horse ranch fantasy dished out by an absentee rock star dad who strokes his daughter's hair, tries to pay her off with clothes shopping money, and tells her mom is doing her best. Oh, Foxes offers all these gifts plus Chachi-era Scott Baio in a tuxedo t-shirt on a skateboard, Damone from Fast Times, and a young Laura Dern. So yeah, this is a really solid, not comedy at all, very much a drama that gets also kind of dark in the back end, but I'm a big fan of this one. It's directed by Adrian Lyne, who would go on to Fatal Attraction, Jacob's Ladder, and things like that. You know, he's great with the thriller, and this touches on that, but I don't know. I just like the LA that it portrays, the LA of the late 70s and early 80s. It feels like an LA movie, and I like that. This Kino Lorber Blu-ray has an audio commentary by Adrian Lyne, which I like quite a bit. It's got an on-camera interview with Sally Kellerman, which is also interesting. But yeah, I don't know. It's got a really fun soundtrack too, you know, just like disco / 70s. It's mostly disco-ish stuff, little rock, but you know, it's a Casablanca Records and Filmworks production, so you know they're definitely pushing their music, but it's good, and I still feel a bit underseen, if a cult item, but I like it a lot. Foxes. And then lastly, we have a movie that I've definitely talked about on other shows, but I couldn't help but pick it. It's another Kino Blu-ray, and that is a movie also from 1980, and it's My Bodyguard.
Where'd you get this beautiful hair?
Kmart.
So funny.
I never go to the bathroom until if I can help it.
Well, what do you do?
Just hold it in. Stay away from liquids.
Everyone knows that going to school is an education in itself.
Feel under the dust. The gum's not the worst. It's the boogers that freak me out.
One false move might wipe you out. And any meal could be your last. I should know. My name is Clifford Peach. And this is my story.
You die every day for nine, you got it.
I'm not gonna pay.
You got nerve, even if you ain't gonna live long.
That was me before.
Eat this.
What's going on? Who are those guys?
Just some kids from school who want to kill me.
Hey, Shelley!
Want to go to the movies tonight?
Sure.
Yeah, you have a real good time while you're there, huh?
And this is me now. What made the difference? It wasn't my grandmother.
Kick him in the cojones, that's the
thing. Wasn't my father.
I could call the principal again.
It wasn't my enemies.
You give me trouble. People don't do that around here.
It was my bodyguard.
You're dead. Sure, let me get this.
My bodyguard. A crazy idea.
I'd like you to meet my bodyguard. Anything you want to say to me, talk to him first.
That led to a great friendship. This is a story of hallway horror, mayhem after math class, and the most important lesson you can learn out of school.
You know those things that stunt your growth?
That strength has nothing to do with size, and everything to do with courage. One of them was short. One of them was strange. Together, they were absolutely unbeatable. My bodyguard.
Keywords here are new kid, bullies, the big fight, and wacky grandma. It says heartfelt, funny, powerfully sad in spots, and ultimately uplifting. My Bodyguard casts Chris Makepeace, Rudy Gerner from Meatballs, as Clifford Peach, a poor little rich high school transplant who relocates to Chicago to live with his single dad, Martin Mull, who manages a luxury hotel, and his zany pepper tongue grandmother, Ruth Gordon. Instantly upon pulling up to Lakeview High School in a stretch limo, Clifford is beset by bullies. Leading the meanies is Melvin Moody, Matt Dillon, and he runs a nifty schoolyard protection racket. Kids who suffer his routine abuse and fork over their lunch money to him and his goons will be shielded from Ricky Linderman, Adam Baldwin. Though he keeps to himself, Linderman, Lakeview High's resident hulking psychopath, is rumored to have murdered several people, including his own kid brother. Clifford hatches the novel idea of hiring Ricky to defend him. Anyway, that's the basic setup for My Bodyguard, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, and a movie that I'm always pleasantly surprised to show to new people and find them fully engaged with it by the very end, because it's just one of those movies that really gets your blood pumping and gets you excited. And Matt Dillon is just a great villain. Like, he is so good at playing this kind of bully that it resonates with me. I'm sure it resonates with other people. Like, just reminds you of dudes you knew, but he's just so good at it. Anyway, I do love the idea of, you know, this nerdy kid teaming up with this sort of outcast dude and taking on this bully. And it's just like the review says, it's definitely uplifting and sad. It's, you know, finding out some of the history of some of the characters is touching and difficult, but I think ultimately contributes to the emotional payoff by the end of the movie. I love it. I think I talked about it as a double with 3 o'clock High on the film debuts episode of Pure Cinema, and both have, you know, big fight scenes and, you know, bullies, and I love both movies. This is directed by Tony Bill, and this Blu-ray from Kino has an audio commentary with Tony Bill, and it's moderated by film programmer Jim Healy, Pat Healy's brother Jim. They've done some commentaries themselves for Kino Blu-rays, and they've always been good. Most recently, I think, on Tell Them Willy Boy Is Here. But anyway, this was really great for me. As I've said, this is a favorite of mine, so hearing Tony Bill talk about the movie from his point of view and it being his first movie and everything was fantastic. I really loved hearing his thoughts on the movie and everything like that. And Jim's a great great moderator. So really cool stuff. So that's Kino Blu-ray. And that's it for my recommendations from the teen movie Hell book. I do recommend, of course, that you pick up this book. It's really a lot of fun. And like I said, it has stuff that you'll recognize, but also a lot of films you might not recognize, and a lot of films that aren't on Blu-ray. I definitely saw a bunch in here that I believe are VHS only. So, you know, Mike is definitely digging deep with this compendium, and I do love the decision to involve a whole lot of great writers to contribute essays. The Kat Ellinger and Sam Deegan and Kayla Janice essays were all great, and so was Heather Drain's. I'm still working my way through the rest of them, but it's just a great book. Definitely check this one out. Check out Heavy Metal Movies by Mike McPadden as well, and follow Mike McPadden on Twitter. He's Mike McBeardo on Twitter. You will be able to keep track of anything he's doing in the future, and I'm sure he's probably working on another book. I hope he is, because I've liked the ones he's done so far. But anyway, thanks to Mike for putting together a nice book, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Teen Movie Blu-rays. Anyway, sorry to ramble on and on. I will talk to you guys very soon. Have a lovely and Blu-ray-filled week, and bye-bye.